Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Thoroughly Confusing Thursday. That makes sense. It's the 27th day of April, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. And I'm your host, Henry Shively. And John will not be back with us until Monday. He had some personal business he had to take care of, and we wish him the best on his journeys, and we'll see him on Monday. That being said, this is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to join in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign again. That's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me. It is currently 42 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and I think we're looking for a high here of 47 degrees today, and it's easing up. It ain't terrible. I'm not going to complain because it's not icy, and that's always a place to start. That being said, let's see what we got on the itinerary here. A little outrage right out the gate here, people. Mexican illegal immigrant raped sleeping 9-year-old girl. And this is up in Portland. Probably about 350 miles or so up north of where I'm at. And, here, this piece of trash, you're going to love this. So stay tuned, and we're going to get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Though I'm feeling mighty sick, I've been lost now, days uncounted, and it's months since I've seen home. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Or am I all alone?
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you The Word from the Trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then. Mexican illegal immigrant raped sleeping 9-year-old girl. Like I said, this happened up in Portland, and this is from the Daily Mail. It was sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. A Mexican illegal immigrant who was deported 16 years ago is said to have snuck back in the United States where he raped a 9-year-old girl as she was sleeping. Santiago Martinez Flores, 48, is accused of breaking in through a window in Clackamas and sexually assaulting the child in a bedroom she shared with her 5-year-old sister. He had been sent to Mexico in 2001 after serving 2 years in the Oregon Department of Corrections for crimes dating back as far as 1994. The young victim was fast asleep when the suspect broke into her room. After being pinned down and abused, the girl managed to wriggle free and run into her parents' room. Her father grabbed his gun and went into the daughter's bedroom, but the attacker had already escaped through the window through which he broke in. Officers were able to obtain the suspect's fingerprints from the break-in and are now hunting the fugitive, according to KATU News. And I'll tell you, he's already probably back down to the border. And once he gets to California, he's in sanctuary. And then he can go on down and get to the border and get back down to Mexico. And nobody's going to look for him down there. And, three or 4 years go by and it'll all get pushed under the rug. And he'll come back up here again. He'll be Carlos. He'll have him a new alias. And he'll come up here and he'll do it again. Hey, by the way, Trump. Yeah, do you people remember something about that wall will be going up this spring? Do you remember they're going to, hey, Trump, what are you doing? Why this bad hombre is raping this 9-year-old girl, buddy? Oh, that's right. You're working on tax cuts for your filthy rich buddies. That's what you're doing. You're going to get rid of NAFTA too, weren't you? Absolutely. That goddamn NAFTA's got to go. They're stealing everything we got through NAFTA. Well, then at least Obamacare, you got rid of that, right? We're going to call it repeal and replace, but actually it's just we're going to change some of the things in Obamacare. And you have socialized medicine, you have communism, and man, it's just, you got to compromise, people. You got to compromise to the point that your 16-year-old can't even sleep in their goddamn rooms at night without some foreign son of a bitch crawling through the window and raping them. Too bad the dad didn't get in there with her father grabbed his gun. But the attacker was on. Too bad he didn't get there a little bit earlier and shoot this piece of trash. There's a pictures over on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Not that it'd probably do any good. Like I said, hey, man, he probably had the car that he bought with his 2 years of tax returns under American National's Social Security number that he stole. So he had a nice car, and he probably had money in his pocket. He's down into Sanctuary, California. And I mean, if you stop down there, I mean, you can't even ask what their name is. You can't even look at them. Can't even pull them over. So he'll drive right back down to the Mexican border, go down into, central Mexico, not too far, just down enough until, out in one of the way places on one of the ranches and work for a few years. Maybe rendering some heroin and some cocaine, maybe some methamphetamine to be brought back up here across our border. And then when he gets, back to where he feels comfortable coming back up here, like I said, you can't ask their name, so just pick a name. You can't even ask them who they are, so he just drive right back up here. Maybe he'll, by that car he gets down and that he takes back down into Mexico, that's going to be worth the fortune down there. So he'll be living pretty good, and he'll get him some old junker, or maybe he'll just take a bus, and he'll just come right on back up here and rape him another 16-year-old. And in the meantime, we can watch our country get sold at the auction block. That's what I was looking for. The county sheriff's office were able to obtain the suspect's fingerprints. That's how they know who the bastard is. From the break-in and are now hunting the fugitive. Officers say Martinez Flores has also been known to use the aliases Felipe Couto and Isidro Ramos Flores. The sexual assault happened during the early mornings hours of Sunday, and it was February 26th. And we just hear about this. I mean, how come February 26th? I mean, he's already back to Mexico. He's done sold the car. He's kicking back, doing him a line of coke for his new employers down there. Because, what the hell's the use, people? You got that bad hombre. And you were there, Trump. In a statement, the wall is going up this spring, right, guys? Remember, it'd be going up this spring, he told us. The GOIM, the people beneath. Oh, in a statement, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Department said Martinez Flores has a lengthy criminal record dating back to 1994. So I'm going to tell you something, people. He's probably been back in. He's probably committed crimes. He's probably been on the goddamn rampage for years. And this just finally hit the right spot, and something had to be done about it. But nothing's been done about it. It's been since February. If that son of a bitch paying back down in Mexico where he's safe, working on one of the ranches making cocaine and heroin, I'll eat my hat. Several photos of Santiago Martinez Flores are attached, and those are up on From the Trenches. If anybody cares to look, I mean, like I said, they tell you about it. He's been gone a long time. He's not hanging around up in Portland. His Oye brothers have made sure he's back down into Sanctuary, California. He might just be down to California. Why should you go on into Mexico? You can come up into Oregon and rape little girls and go down into Mexico, and you got Sanctuary. I mean, it's Mexico, California, Mexico. I get them confused. And you've got Sanctuary. You can't be touched. Trump agrees not to terminate NAFTA at this time. And now that NAFTA, he told us, you know, and unequivocally, I mean, this is one of his strong points, you know, past not the wall. First, we had the wall, man, the wall. There's going to be a goddamn, Mexico's going to pay for it, and there's going to be a wall. Wait a minute. There's not going to be a wall. It is the spring. And last thing we heard from Trump is, well, man, I'll talk to you. I can't do it right now because we're in a budget crisis here. And we have to fund the treachery, the theft, the fraud for 6 more months, or else all of it's going to stop. And so we're going to put your stuff aside. I know they're in here raping 9-year-old girls and cutting people into pieces and killing people in car wrecks when they're wiped out of their minds on alcohol and drugs. And I know they're smuggling it all in here, but man, there's something more important. I mean, if we don't get this money thing, this is a money thing. You're talking life or you're talking money. And when you're talking life or money, it's money. And so we're going to get this deal done. We're going to get this emergency expenditure through, because that's important. They hold, you have what you call a super majority in there, and they, you know, to pass these tax cuts, they're saying, and now listen now, guys, and pay attention. To pass these tax cuts, they're saying they will exercise the nuclear option, which is to change the rules in the, the Senate maybe, whichever it is, to change the rules. So that they only have to have, instead of having to have 60% of a 60% majority, they can do it with a 50%. They just have to have a majority, 51%. So they have the people. What they're telling them is they threatened this on the Supreme Court nominee, and now they're threatening it again that they're going to do this, because what they're telling you is they can pass anything they want to right now. The Republican Party can. Now, you see, this is where the deal making and the contracts come in, because people, when it push comes to shove, they're putting a lot more money into the pockets of your politicians than you are through your payrolls. I'm going to tell you a little secret. And push comes to shove, you know, they figure they put enough money into their campaign for their next re-election. If they got the backing, I mean, go ahead and just cut your throat. Just go ahead and cut your throat, because you don't matter. The wall, I mean, the thing that is the greatest threat to our people, and they admit it out of the side of their mouths every once in a while. They really do. They've said it to you a few times. The number one, I mean, and they'll talk about the billions and billions being hauled out of here, about the billions that are being just handed out of here over to Mexico, about your industry being shipped down there, about the fact that, I mean, well, let's go on and look at NAFTA a little bit more here. President Donald Trump told the leaders of Canada and Mexico, you know, step aside, American people. I got to go talk to the stakeholders here. I know I told you I was getting rid of this son of a bitch, but you're not stakeholders. Get back out of the way. You really don't understand when I was talking, when I said that I was going to reach out to that most ignored American. You can't be thinking I was thinking of you. I was thinking of the billionaires who have been shunned and the bankers who have been scandalized in this country. That's who I was talking to, not you, you dumbasses. I can't believe you thought that for a second. I'm a billionaire. You're a peon. You're a peasant. You're a coolie. Canada-Mexico Wednesday. He was not immediately planning to end the North American Free Trade Agreement, a pact which he rallied against as a candidate and as recently as last week declared was harmful to the U.S. workers in a description of Trump's phone calls to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and President Enrique Pena Nieto. The White House said Trump agreed not to terminate NAFTA at this time. You know, just like, I'm not going to build the wall, but this, we're just going to keep putting this shit off, and we're going to keep negotiating with people, and that's what we're going to do. If they wanted that fucking wall, I'm going to tell you what. If this is the Republican Party, and Trump's a part of them, and they aren't all the same assholes, I mean, all the same people shitting through the same asshole, if there's, like, really, you know, like we suspect, there's not really no kind of Democrats or Republicans, conservatives or liberals. There's just a goddamn criminal cabal, a bunch of contractors fighting over who's going to steal our country, just like they're doing in Syria. Now, if it happens to be that way, then I guess what he's doing makes perfect sense in a description of Trump's phone calls to Premier. He would contact Trudeau. I mean, because what we're talking about here is free trade. Now, but what kind of free trade are we talking about? Okay, let's take a third world country like Mexico was before they, you know, start shipping all of our shit down there. And they only want to sell produce up here. And they are selling produce up here. They're selling all the goddamn produce up here because there's no way that American grown produce that under the guidelines that American produce must be grown, and the fact that if you work somebody growing American produce, you have to give them health care, you have to give them, I mean, you have to have some kind of a pension plan, and you sure are going to match their Social Security taxes, and you're going to have to be paying withholding taxes and all this shit, and you could just have these Mexican stuff that is down in Mexico, you know, where they piss and shit in the fields. I mean, because they don't come out of the fields. They're only making, $2, maybe a $2 an hour. That would be a high wage for some real high workers. And they're not coming out of that field. They got to take a dump. They're doing it on the lettuce. They got to take a piss. They're doing it on the potatoes. It doesn't matter. But this shit comes up here, okay? And our people aren't working making this. Remember this, because the whole thing's supposed to be about jobs. So this shit comes up here. And what's the trade-off? Oh, well, we've set it up so that we can sell Mercedes-Benz, or no, let's think of something real expensive in this country, Ford four-wheel drive pickups. Well, there's three Mexicans down there that can afford Ford pickups, but it doesn't really matter because, you know, Ford's owned by foreign investors anyway, and when it comes out into the big field of things, that's what you really have, contractors, right back to the shareholders in the corporations pushing this and pushing that. For, I mean, they've got it down till they're fighting over the last goddamn dollar. And now Trump, you know, here Trump, he was for the working man. He came out for the working man. We're going to get rid of that goddamn NAFTA. He told you without a doubt that it was destroying you. They were taking from us and we were getting nothing. Well, let's see what he's going to do about that. He agreed not to terminate NAFTA at this time, and the leaders agreed to proceed swiftly according to their required internal procedures to enable the renegotiation of NAFTA deal to benefit all three countries. Now, hold it a second. Now, they told us this wasn't benefiting because the angle they were that Trump was coming at it, you know, because he's for the people, was coming at that in jobs. This took our goddamn jobs away, and it did with the scenario I just laid out before you with the corn and the vegetables that are shit on that are brought up here and the three or four Ford pickups that are sold down in there that actually belong to a Chinese investor anyway. But what Trumpy has done here is he's according to the required procedures, he's looking out for, they do not want that bad produce in here, but this has nothing to do with jobs. This is the point. Now, he says this is about when he was wanting to, saying, you're president, I'm the president of the people. When he's wanting to be a president, it was about your jobs that were taken away by the Mexican produce being brought in here. But when it comes down to it, that those people, those are the rich son of a bitches that are exploiting you. These are his people. And when it comes down to it, his people, I mean, this could hurt a billionaire that's shipping foreign produce in here. Not manufactured here. Nothing to do. The guy that took your goddamn jobs. It seems that Trump is friends now with the guy that took your goddamn jobs. Why ain't I surprised? It is my privilege to bring NAFTA up to date through renegotiation, Trump said. To bring it up to date. Oh, that's what he said. I'm going to bring it up to date. His renegotiation, I mean, see, when they talk about what they're going to renegotiate, it's going to, what does he say, benefit all three countries. That's all they tell you. Watch and listen. Trump said in a written statement that the readout of his phone calls in, it is an hour to deal with both President Pineda, an honor, I'm sorry, man, I'm really blowing this. It is an honor to deal with both President Pineda Nieto and Prime Minister Trudeau, and I believe that the end result will make all three countries stronger and better. Boy, have you been sold some bullshit. All three countries stronger and better. How? The guy selling the produce, he's gonna be stronger and better. You didn't say nothing about jobs there, Trumpy, did you? Because the only way you can fix it is, it has to be bad for somebody like, you know, the son of a bitch importing the goddamn foreign, vegetables that are pissed on and shit on. It's gonna be bad on him. Because if you don't import that stuff, if you really truly put the deal together to, we're gonna trade, we're not gonna put a $30,000 truck over there and you get to pump in, $300 million worth of vegetables. This is what's going on right now. And the one truck gets to be made here, and that's a real good deal for our workers, but all these, you know, this $300 million worth of vegetables, they're gonna be grown down there, they're gonna be harvested down there. If there's any kind of processing, it's gonna be down there, then they're gonna come across our border. And that's a very good deal for you, and this is one that old Trumpy's gonna go along with. It's gonna make all our countries better for who?
Hey, Henry.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, speaking of the produce, I just found out yesterday out here, like, there's a little local farmer's market,
mm-hmm.
and you can't even sell your stuff there unless you, I guess it's like a permit or something. You got to charge taxes on it.
Oh, no way.
No way. I had never heard of such a thing. My husband was talking to somebody at the grocery, at the Walmart, so that's all we have out here. But, one of his customers on his route, and she had told him that because Doc was telling her, you know, maybe we'll take our eggs there and sell. No, you got to get some type of form to where you're collecting taxes on everything you sell. And I said, well, Lord, that would mean then you would have to have a permit too, I would assume.
No,
you have to collect taxes on your produce that you're selling locally. They want the taxes. There's got to be something else too.
Well, you would think so, because unless you are a business, you know, then you went and got a license. I don't know how in the hell they could talk to you about what you grew and sold.
That, I'm telling you, that's the way it is out here.
Oh, I have no doubt.
And I mean, we're under 6,000 people out here.
I have no doubt. And this is just the thin edge of the thick wedge, because you know what you got going here with what the hell is that new attorney general? Damn it, Sessions. Yeah, Sessions, new Attorney General Sessions, because he's talking about, you know, this drug thing. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you guys something, whether you realize it or not. The fact that all these states like Colorado, Oregon, Washington, I mean, there's a whole oodle of states now where you can grow your own goddamn weed. And you know what that's doing to the imports? Because their weed's shit. Our weed's awesome. And so I can see a scenario, you know, he's working it up with this sanctuary city. He's using these issues because the people back him on him. And he can always back off just like he's done on all this other shit when it comes up to the point. I'm studying it. I bet you are, buddy. But
Henry.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you know what else, too? You're talking about the tax and things. Out here, you know, I'm only, 19 miles from the Colorado border. And if they bust somebody here in Kansas, you know, with weed, not only do they get them for, you know, illegal substance or whatever they're going to call it, they also put a charge on them for not having a tax stamp.
Oh, well, yeah, that is that. See, there's never been.
I don't understand that part.
Well, there was never a prohibition. I mean, when they put a prohibition on alcohol, they did one of their acts. You know, the Volstead Act. that outlawed alcohol. But marijuana, none of that's never been done. It's not illegal. They couldn't make it illegal without an act. And they didn't do an act. What they did was they put a $250 tax per ounce on marijuana and then made it so you couldn't get the tax stamp. So that's what you're getting busted for. Taxes. Yeah. It's a fact, man. And like I said, I mean, I can see the sessions. You know, I can, you'll start with this sanction, you know, building the foundation for it. And you know, this, you're going to obey federal law shit. And everybody's going, hell yes, we want these goddamn, but we're talking apples and oranges here. You're talking about invaders from another country that the federal government, it is their goddamn responsibility to get them the hell out of here and secure our borders. That is one of the things we charged them with and gave them authority for. But on the other hand, you have, you know, telling you what you can and cannot put in your body as an American. You know, they have no authority. Absolutely no authority there. But see, what they'll do is make it seem like the same thing. And then when they come in and they, you know, they threaten us. First, they're going to threaten you with taking, you know, probably whatever your the money the law enforcement gets. But boys, that would get them pissed off on wanting to get all the goddamn people that are smoking that pot and laying around smiling and shit. They got to be stopped. And then they'll come out. They'll finally start doing federal raids into the just like they did down in California when they first came up with the medical marijuana. It's not because they love you, Misty. I'm going to tell you. It's because it's cutting into their goddamn profits. That shit from south of the border, it ain't mean piss on it. No, who wants it? I mean,
anybody in their right mind would want to try to buy local and local vegetables if they possibly can. Anybody would.
Well, hell yes. I'm right down here on the corner, right here in the middle of nowhere in Chiloquin. I mean, people come out and they got goddamn squash and cucumbers and tomatoes. Once the gardens all get going, hell, they're out there every weekend, man. I love it. all that fresh produce. It's awesome.
Well, I guess not out here. I guess you got to do a tax. You
wow.
Got to pay taxes on it.
Well, it's just going to keep escalating, and the Jew does not want you to go out and make any dollar that he doesn't get 95 cents of. That's all there is to it. Anyways, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from thetrenchesworldreport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1239 Pacific Time. Of course, that is Joe Satriani with Big Bad Moon. And I just wanted to hear somebody molest a guitar. Oh, and he knows how. Let's see here. We were talking, at any rate, people, what you're going to see here is that, you know, just like this, countries are going to get stronger. We're going to get stronger. We're going to get better. Just like our stock market, it's going to be stronger and it's going to be better. Just like the last, eight, 9, 10 years, you know, since the Great Recession when the derivatives bubbles popped. And all of the, you know, the super wealthy, the son of a bitches who created the bubble, the super wealthy, the people who committed international fraud, derivatives fraud, and, you know, cost the people trillions of dollars that we had to borrow from them, that we owe them to pay them back. Once again, you will see that these are the people who are important. You're gonna see that this is the way that the pendulum is swinging just ever farther in a circle. I mean, they used to talk about the pendulum going back and forth, left to right. This thing is spinning, and it's spinning towards your destruction. They're gonna tell you the country's stronger and better, just like that stock market. But the fact is, yeah, there's gonna be, I mean, those people who screwed us in 2008, they have made record profits since that day. Record profits every quarter. You know, they're talking, well, we didn't get no GDP last quarter. Our country's going real bad. But every fucking one of them, record profits every quarter. So, I mean, there was a whole lot of money being made. It just wasn't being made by the country or the people. It was the people's resources being eaten out through, well, NAFTA. Isn't NAFTA the one that, nobody would vote for Bain Capital Mitt Romney, would they? I mean, Bain Capital, you know what they did? They shipped our industry out of this country. And what program did they do that through? Well, that's right, NAFTA. We paid them. We paid to ship the factories out of here to China and goddamn South Korea and paid to have them set up on the other end. Paid to have our jobs removed. And now Trump, he's rethinking things here on NAFTA. You think there's any difference between him and Mitt Romney? Remember Mitt, who had his goddamn, I mean, he had the bank accounts offshore, the ones they're talking about now as a part of their new tax plan that they will use the nuclear option to get. A part of that tax plan is, well, those guys who took the money from NAFTA, took your goddamn factories and your jobs with them over to overseas, made, and then took your raw resources and shipped them over there. To be manufactured, that you got nothing for, $257 for $1 trillion worth of goddamn resources, and then they manufactured them, and then the profits all went in offshore accounts because, man, it was so much money being made, and it was all untaxed, it was all stolen property, and you paid them to do it, and they put all the money off them offshore accounts. They want them here where they're secure, where they can use them to lord over. They can use that wealth to be even taller over you like princes and princesses and kings and queens. And Trumpy's their lead boy. He was put in there. This is bullshit job. Go ahead.
Hey, this is David in Arizona, also known as Frank Face.
Hey, brother.
I kind of asked, how's it going, man? I have something I'd like to touch on that kind of, you know, maybe ties in with what you're talking about. I have a government that I do not even live in. Like, I live in unincorporated county, and I have a city government trying to charge me for a sewer bill. They created an account in my name without me signing any documents, and they refuse to terminate the service or end the contract, no matter how many different people I talk to. So, like, in my understanding, I don't think somebody can arbitrarily generate debt in my name legally, and I keep asking for, you know, legal standing or what makes me liable, and nobody will answer my questions. They try to misdirect me. Now this bill is being presented through what's called a special taxation group chartered under the state of Arizona, which had been sued in 2012 and blocked from collecting sewer bills through property taxes. This year, for the first time, I'm paying a property tax to Desert Vista Sanitary Group through Pinal County, of which I live in. So I've talked to Desert Vista Sanitary Group, I've talked to the city of Casa Grande, and I've talked to Pinal, and none of them can show me where I'm liable to pay a monthly fee in addition to like a $100-something charge that I'm paying on my taxes. Like, nobody will show me where they have legal standing, and nobody will allow me to opt out of it. Yet when I ask for confirmation that this is a tax, not a bill, they keep insisting that it's a bill. But they, like I said, they refuse to let me out of it. So I'm just kind of curious, like, maybe what your thoughts are on the situation, or maybe where I should go next.
Well, I'll tell you what, is your government's being run under grants by private corporations. Now, what they did to you, I mean, creating an account in your name, I'm no attorney, but common sense and just, you know, they can't create a contract in your name. You didn't sign it, did you?
I did not.
Well, then, so
they're
claiming to do it through the tax code and through taxation authority. The bottom line is, my friend, I mean, things like this have been going on for a whole long time. The people you're dealing with are a private corporation. That is, I mean, they've tried to set up some kind of subcontract, through the agency that would have the authority to collect taxes. It's like a collection agency kind of a deal. And, you know, completely without authority, but I'm going to tell you something, it don't matter. It doesn't matter because of the grant system. It doesn't matter because what they are doing is let me think this through in my head just a little bit. It's a private corporation, and they're operating under the Uniform Commercial Code. You see, your rights. I mean, if that taxing authority wanted to come direct at you and they did something like that, bam, they can't do that. That is, oh, goddamn, that's illegal. That would be, well, a violation of your rights. You see, and your rights, you know, are contained in the state constitution. I'm sure in this Arizona state constitution, you still have your Bill of Rights. But at any rate, once they subcontract out, see, this is how bad it's getting, people. I mean, this is blatant. I mean, this is goddamn criminal activity. No two ways about it. But once you get to the point that they're just going, this good old boy comes over and goes, you know, I want to take some money from all these people out here in the desert. They're not paying any property taxes, and I just want to take some money from them. But in the state, now see, the agency being under fiduciary responsibility, they could not do that. That would absolutely be a violation of your rights. However, what they do is we'll subcontract you out to collect money for a sewage, like a sewage thing. And so they're subcontracted out. They fall under the Uniform Commercial Code. And people have tried to, I mean, this is discovered a long time ago. I mean, years and years ago. And people have tried to bring it up. And I mean, you're talking Supreme Court cases that have been overruled. Like not overruled. They just refuse to hear it. Like Goldberg versus Kelly says, you know, you can't replace my goddamn rights with an administrative hearing. And that's what they're going to talk to you about is an administrative hearing. I think that I would get a hold of.
They've already told me. They've already told me to get a lawyer, and they've already threatened to put a lien on my house. Both the county of Pinal and the Desert Vista Sanitary Taxation District both threatened verbally to put a lien on my house. But see, I don't even understand what kind of lien they could possibly put on my house. Is this some sort of governmental taxation lien? The only other type of lien I could find was a mechanics lien, and that requires like official notices to be sent through the mail and all that, and I haven't gotten any of that. So I don't even know, like, do they have any standing whatsoever to put a lien on my house for a bill arbitrarily created in my name without my signature?
Well, my friend, I mean, I'd like to tell you, in the real world, if you were living in the country you were sold on, no, they would have no right to do any of it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It don't matter because you're who you are and they're who they are. Like I said, it is getting more out of control every day. I mean, that you see outrages. I know you watch the site. You see outrages every day. Like the cop beating, you know, a cop beating in here. But what I'm saying is, man, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. What I've said on this program and what I've tried to get through people's heads is there is no law anymore. Once you remove the base for the law, the foundation, it all falls apart. They are not working within the authorities granted. That means they are a rogue government. They are a rogue, and they're not even they're an insurgency, but it's a corporate mafia insurgency is what it is. And the bottom line is, man, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you might could pay some lawyer some, you know, it shouldn't be happening to you. But you might be able to pay some lawyer who agrees to this other guy, you know, or somebody else and say, well, you can't do it for this reason, or maybe have you pay less. But man, there is, you can't take, look at any of this from a prospective law. Under law, of course they can't do it. Somebody can't fill out a contract, sign your name to it and say, yo, the money and your land's held up for it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, as soon as I started talking about rights, the higher up person I talked to instantly wanted to know my name and my address. And I thought it was funny. I'm like, well, can I have your name and address? And she's like, yeah. But she never gave it to me. And then as soon as I said the word sovereignty, that's when she was done. She was done listening. I said, I thought I was a sovereign here. I thought I was in charge. And as soon as I said that, it was over. So, you know, I mean, in my opinion, I bet you I already got fished. I bet you I already got thrown over to the fusion center. Like, I look at it worst case scenario. These people are being so standoffish. They're not willing to talk about, you know, basic understanding of law. Like, what makes me liable to pay? That's like a foundational element of any bill.
I'm going
to
tell you I'm going to tell you why you're not liable. Now, listen. We go over the Bill of Rights every day. I mean, pretty much every day in this on this program. The Bill of Rights is the common law. The only way you can have any of your property removed from you is through the procedures contained in the Bill of Rights. That would have to be a civil action in this case. That means you would have to be served with a civil complaint. Somebody, it would have to be an, it can't be no agency or organization, because they have, the agencies, the government, it has no zero jurisdiction over you. It would have to be another Arizonian, your next door neighbor, one of the people that live in the community who have an actual grievance that they want redress for. And they would have to file according to the procedures in the Bill of Rights. That means they'd have to send you notice. And then they would have to, I mean, and this would have to, you could reject it right away for saying you're not even a person. There's no real person here. I can't be, the jurisdiction, you're trying to use an administrative jurisdiction. And that's what, exactly what they do. That's what they'll do is try to, but you tell them that this cannot be, because the ninth article says that the only way, the ninth article says enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That is an absolute prohibition. That means no authority could ever exist in the Constitution for them to do what they're doing to you. Therefore, as the state's authority is based on the charter in the Constitution is the controlling authority. So under the Constitution, they're still under the Constitution. When you get to the state level, they can't do it either. It'd be a violation of the ninth article. They will have created a power to allow them to take your property outside the common law, which is your right. It's your absolute guarantee in this country. And then you get down to the level of this little pissant goddamn agency or whatever this con job is they're trying to use on you. And they can't do it either. Because if they do have a license, it's through the state's authority, through the Constitution, and nothing can be created according to the ninth article. They haven't followed the procedures in the Bill of Rights. You've not been served a letter of demand. You have not been allowed to reply to that letter of demand. You have not been allowed to force a filing, and they would have to file in a common law court. It would have to be a human being, a person, not an entity. That's it. This is what separated us from our government. They are entities. You talk about the state of Oregon. It's a piece of paper. It's a corporation. All of these corporations are paper. And the Bill of Rights, the common law makes it clear that pieces of paper entities do not deal with private individuals. We're sovereigns. Only another sovereign. That's why, you know, you talk about corpus delicti. Why do you have to have the courts? You have to have a cause. You have to have an injured party. And there is no injured party. There is no person that says, I'm an injured party. Frank Face did this to me, and it cost me this, and he owes me this. That is the procedure that you are guaranteed as an American national. And the ninth article says that nothing. The Constitution is the law of the country. It is the law of the land. And nothing in that law of the land can be created to take your property any other way than through a procedure in the Bill of Rights, if that makes any sense to you.
It does, but I mean, I'm from New York, which is kind of the mecca of corruption. I might live in Arizona now, and I know for a fact if I say the word Constitution to a cop or a judge, they get infuriated.
It ain't the Constitution they're worried about, my friend. It's the Bill of Rights. The Constitution was an operating manual, but the Bill of Rights, you see, the Bill of Rights is the only way they can get, that anybody can come into your private life. These cops, I mean, they can't even come to your goddamn door.
That. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying if you start mentioning that to a police officer, they instantly flip their lid and look at you like the enemy.
Well, if you understood this well enough, if you understood this well enough to argue it and understood what I just told you, you could write them a response mm-hmm. to their letter and tell them that they, under the ninth article of the People's Bill of Rights, no authority can be created under the Constitution, which the state is under, which every person in this country is under. No authority can be created to come and extort money from me like this. If you want to sue me, you have to follow a civil procedure under the federal rules of civil procedure. You just don't. What you're doing is racketeering and extortion. Sounds to me like.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. So that would be your step, is to send them some form of letter?
I'd send them a notice. I don't know. I might. It's hard to tell. You know, like I said, I can't give you no advice. I might put something like, you know, a judicial notice that you are in violation of my rights. And then I would tell them how they're in violation of my rights. I'd look at that Bill of Rights real close. And I would see that, you know, such things as the due process clause in the fifth article has not been satisfied. And I'm securing my person against unreasonable search or seizure of my property or me. And you're in violation of that because you haven't followed no procedure. You're just coming. This sounds like extortion. I think I'm going to have to report you to the FBI.
Yeah, that might be the way to go. What I was going to do in the immediate future was push the angle of please shut the service off. They keep wanting to insist that this is a bill and mm-hmm. that it's a service. So that's the angle that I'm going to be pushing, because if it is a bill and if it is a service, I should have the ability to opt out of it. I've never understood anybody having
opt out of it. They've already gone beyond this. I mean, there are places that if you don't keep electricity in the house, you can be put out in the street. They can say I'm telling you, this is racketeering. You do not, first place, you don't own your property. You might as well understand that. And then understand that you have no rights. You've been reduced to property. And I mean, how to go forward with it, I couldn't tell you. You can try to get them to shut it off. It'd be their choice. They don't have to follow no law, because obviously there is no law. Because
I agree. I had the police pulled a gun on my next door neighbor for doing 10 miles over the speed limit about a month ago at like 6 a.m. in the morning. He's got a window that won't roll down. Whatever, that happens. That's pretty common. And this young woman, county sheriff, opened the door with her pistol drawn, pointed at my next door neighbor because of 10 miles over the speed limit.
Well, I guess next time.
And then, like, just.
I guess next time, next time when they pull up, you should shoot the window out and say, I did that because I didn't want you to think I was, you know, in danger.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I just think about the amount of danger that this police officer caused by doing a U-turn, flipping on the cherries, speeding herself, pulling both her and this car off to the side of the road, risking getting run over by another car, and now pointing a loaded firearm at a living, breathing human being who has not damaged any property and not stolen anything or hurt anyone. So, like, the amount of danger that she created just for a few hundred friggin' dollars. She created so much danger of death or grave bodily harm to the innocent, it's almost justifiable to take her out right on the side of the road. And that might sound extreme, but think about how much danger of death or grave bodily harm she created by pulling somebody over for 10 miles over the speed limit in an environment where you can see both ends of the road, where it begins and where it begins or ends, because you can see 100, 200 miles in either direction, depending on the conditions.
Well, you have to understand.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's just.
You have to understand that, the way they look at you. I mean, and the way they've been taught to look at you. They go over to Israel and they get training, and they come back and they're taught to look at you. Well, they have to treat a dog better than they have to treat you, dude. I mean, the idea here is to get it through our heads that we're not American national sovereigns who own this country. We're a bunch of plebes, coolies, peasants, peons that have to, you know, it's just like when you see a cop, you're supposed to just drop down and say, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, and beg them not to kill you. This police force that can't even exist because it was never authorized by the people. They're in constant violation. It's a running violation of the Bill of Rights. Everything they're doing. Everything you're talking about, And this is why it pisses me off that we can't just get together and say, hey man, let's go enforce this goddamn document. Let's have some real security in this country. We don't have to worry about some thug who is, I mean, working for, it is a private goddamn, police force. Because it has to be. It sure as hell ain't public. They're not working on with public law here, people. This is private law that we're talking. So that's a private police force, and apparently with complete immunity to just kill people if they want to. We're going to roll across. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Alrighty, you're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. On this thoroughly confusing Thursday, the 27th day of April, 2017, I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 101 Pacific time, which would usually be time for the tactical report with JD, U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny. But John had some personal things he had to take care of this week. He will be back on Monday, so we wish him Godspeed, and we'll see you on Monday, brother. Officials are searching for radioactive material stolen in Mexico. That don't sound good. This is from Business Insider. Sounds like, you know, all this talk about nuclear. You keep hearing it in North Korea, nuclear. Oh, man, and over there in Iran, nuclear, and it's nuclear, and something comes up missing. Well, we already got a bomb. I mean, the bombs that got sent out of Texas, and nobody really knows how. Got put on trucks, and, wow, it was quite a deal. Ended up in North or South Carolina, I can't remember. And in the transport, they lost one. They lost one of them nuclear bombs, and, man, they just can't figure out where it went. Well, hell, you look at them. They lose billions, hell, trillions of dollars. I guess one little bomb ain't that big a deal. Officials are searching. This is from Business Insider. An unknown amount of stolen radioactive material has prompted an alert in 9 Mexican states, the head of National Emergency Services said on Monday. The alert and search for the stolen material covers the state of, you guys are just going to have to bear with me, Jalisco, Colmia, Nayarit, God almighty, Guadalajara, according to a post on Luis Felipe Pientit's Twitter account. Wow, that was a mouthful. Punetta, I don't know. Encourage people with information about the stolen material to report it, but added, don't open it. That's probably a good idea. Stolen or lost radioactive material has on several occasions been reported in Mexico. I didn't know that they had radioactive material. What are we talking down there? maybe for medicine, huh? Most recently, early last year, when a container of, I remember this, of radioactive substance used for industrial X-rays, a method of non-destructive testing was taken along with the car. I never did hear if they found that. I mean, I guess when a dirty bomb shows up here, we can assume that the Iranians did it, okay? It had to be the Iranians. Maybe the North Koreans. And if it's a big explosion, maybe they found that bomb. UN to Trump. Obama repeal would violate international law. And, well, I guess the communists are going to start yelling at a higher level. Would also be racist. Well, don't worry about Obamacare, UN. And you've got your boy Trump in there. Ain't nothing going to happen to your Obamacare. Yeah, I mean, I seen the thing, repeal and replace. No, it ain't repeal and replace. They're changing a couple little things in it to get a couple more contractors happy enough with it that have bought off senators so that they can get it pushed through. It's just a shuffle of contracts. That's all you're seeing. And you're going to pay more every fucking year. Don't make no mistake about it. And if you don't pay it, well, they're coming after you. Just like Frank Face down there. Don't what law. Get real. Yeah, you have to have sovereignty before you can have law. That means you have to be free men. You have to be free nationals before you can have law. And we don't get our law back until we reestablish ourselves as free nationals. A confidential memo from the United Nations sent shortly after Trump moved into the White House made an urgent appeal in quotation marks to the Trump administration that a repeal of Obamacare could violate international law. Really? Wow, that's quite an assertion. Oh, yeah, and it would also be racist as well. I mean, these goddamn communists, I'm telling you, they are from the lower end of the gene pool. These are some of the dumbest fucking people I've ever seen in my life. Nancy Pelosi is standing up there. I wonder, how in the hell did... I guess I wasn't paying attention watching these things. How in the hell... I mean, goddamn, what the hell was his name? John Boehner. Remember that son of a bitch? If that dude made C's in high school, I'll eat my hat. There ain't no goddamn way. They're all dumber than a red brick. The smart ones are like Paul Ryan, and he's just a sleazy. I mean, what lacks in being stupid, he is overbearing with sleaze. The letter was written by Dianus, I guess it is, Dianus, goddamn, it's got to be somebody from some other country, because it isn't James Foster, it isn't an old Irish name, Dianus Perez. I mean, I'm sure this guy here is going to straighten our asses out, whose official title is, get ready for this, special rapporteur on the right of everyone to enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health. That's his title. You know, like janitor, teacher, doctor. He is special rapporteur on the right of everyone to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health. And I mean, hell, you'd spend all day introducing yourself. Unfortunately, that also is not hyperbole. Whatever in hell hyperbole is, that is his real official title, as signed on the letter below. He signs with this? Okay. I would like to bring to the attention of your government information I have received concerning the possibility to repeal core elements of the Affordable Care Act, with negative impacts on the right of everyone to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standards of physical and mental health in the United States, in particular those with moderate or low income and situations of poverty or social exclusion. Now, when this Obamacare shit came in, we told you what it was for. It was to ensure, give insurance to the new colonization force, you know, the people coming from south of the border, the people coming from China, India, South Korea. That's what it was for. And this is what they're talking about here. You know, recent reports have assessed the negative impact that this reform may have on the rights to health of almost 30 million people in the U.S. I want to talk about the people over in Africa. Africa's a rich freaking country, people. How is it that the United Nations, I mean, you got the International Monetary Fund over there, and they claiming that all them diamonds in Africa belong to them. They got the people out there, digging them out for a bowl of food every day, and boy, if they tried to take one off, they hobble them. Aren't you concerned about those people? Are you a part of this invasion into my country? Are you saying that I have to provide health care for the invasion force? Is that really what this comes down to? I mean, if we put the bullshit aside, just you and me talking. Recent reports have assessed the negative impact that this reform have on the right to health In this context, I would like to draw the attention of your government to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Really? You mean like you people, you must be the same people over there saving the Palestinians, right? You've human rights? I mean, they not only got health care, but man, they get cluster bombs dropped on them, phosphorus burning through little children and stuff. Man, sure, they're over there. You're straightening that out before you even come and talk to me about anything, right? I mean, you talk about goddamn human rights violations. But what we know, Israel. Oh, no, we can't do that. Sorry. But we can come over and tell you, you have to take people against your will and to take your country over, and you have to provide everything for them, or man, that's a violation of their human rights. What about the human rights of them Africans over there being hobbled because they tried to steal one of their own diamonds? What about them? What about them? Then, just when you think Perez's letter couldn't get any more ridiculous, you get to the part where he suggests that anything short of universal taxpayer-funded health care is just racist. Of course it is. Of course it's racist. In this connection, I would like to refer your government to Article 5, Section E of the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of racial discrimination. I mean, somebody's telling me, whoa. And you have some authority here? You're claiming? I thought this was a sovereign country. I thought that if something was passed on an international basis, like a treaty, that it would have to be go through the Senate and be affirmed. Maybe it has. I'm sure that it has. And I'm sure we're signed on to it. And I'm sure that they've told you that you can come over here and just take anything you want to bring the third world over here and give them what we got. It's okay. Elimination of all racial discrimination. You know, discrimination is bullshit. All of it, every bit of it's bullshit. You know, life is discrimination. I like my coffee with milk in it. You know, I like to put a little shot of, creamer, this powdered shit she puts in it. But I like my coffee with powder. I discriminate against black coffee, and black coffee matters. I discriminate against coffee with sugar in it. I discriminate against cold coffee because I like it hot. Your whole life is a series of choices, isn't it? Or am I missing something here? As you go through life, you're constantly, all day long. I mean, that's what you do. That is really what life is a series of choices. No matter if you decide you're going to build something, you have to start deciding how you're going to build it, deciding what you're going to do first, which board goes first, how you're going to cut that board. I mean, your life. I'm sitting here and I'm deciding what I'm going to say next. Life is a series of decisions. And in every decision, I mean, it's total. You're discriminating one thing against another. I think I'll use that 10-penny nail instead of that 3-penny nail. I think I'm going to use a hacksaw instead of a cross saw. I think I'm going to use a torch instead of a plasma cutter. It's a complete, life is discriminating. You're discriminating against everything around you. So to try and put some kind of bullshit out here, like there's some kind of, you're discriminating against. Well, it's just discrimination if you don't hand your stuff over, because discrimination has worked as a good word for us. Discrimination is something nobody wants to do. Discrimination has taboos attached to it. We've made discrimination a word people don't even want to say, when all people do all day long from the time you get out of bed until you go to sleep is discriminate. One thing against another. That's how we perceive reality. By discriminating the light against the dark, the color, one color against another color, one shape against another shape. That's how we discriminate who we are. And this, in the bottom assessment, man, I mean, they want you right down to some freak that doesn't even know which bathroom to walk in. And, you can be a woman today, a male, a female tomorrow. But you can't discriminate. You see what I'm saying here? You see what unmitigated, utter bullshit the goddamn word is, let alone the assertion. Of course we discriminate. Life is discrimination. Living is discrimination. And we're going to, we're international, we've got racial discrimination here. How is it racial discrimination to say, we don't want people just coming into our country? And, you know, even on this, because what they're going to try to say is it's the rich and the poor. And boy, there is some discrimination there. Make no fucking mistake. There is discrimination against those that belong to the secret societies and belong to the churches and the rest of us. There's hella discrimination there. But that's not the, see, the discrimination is, of course. Hey, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to make an issue today? It's discrimination. It sure as hell is. Life is. Bullshit. And, you know, this repeal, don't worry about it. He's not going to repeal and replace this. They're just shuffling some contracts around. It's just like the shit with the NAFTA. You know, some guys, the guy who's importing the goddamn vegetables, the fruits and vegetables from Mexico, Central, and South America, man, he's not going to be able to buy this shit for nothing to come up here and sell it to us. You see, down there, it's worth shit. If he doesn't have to pay a tariff coming in, it's just coming out. It's part of a trade deal. And as another part of the trade deal, we're going to sell four trucks down there. Okay, now how many guys does it take to make four trucks as opposed to how many guys it takes to make, you know, 100 million bushels of this or 10,000 bushels of that? You see, that's where that's what the whole idea was about, because we were fucking us workers. But Trump's got it around to, it's going to be good for our countries. We have to see what's good for the country. And who is the country? Well, we already know that our highest level that we can reach is consumer. And beyond that, we're human resource. So I don't think he's talking about us no more than they were talking about us when they talk about this boom we've been going through for the last 8 years. You know, record profits were made every quarter, even though the country got broker and broker and went further and further in debt. Man, somebody was making a whole lot of fucking money, weren't they? Let's see. Let's see where we were on this. Okay, the convention, all this stupid shit. Under the article, states parties undertake to graduate or guarantee the right of everyone to a number of economic, social, and culture rights without distinction as to race, color, or national, ethnic, origin. And you know, they talk about this like if they can point something that, you know, and try to say you're discriminated against here, like they'll try to tell you, man, 50% of this, this happens to 50% of black people. But black people this is where they play with the numbers. Black people are only 14% of the population. So, they think that we can't, maybe that's why they want Common Core. So we can't do simple math. 50%, it's like the elections. 30%, 90% of 30% says, but they don't put it that way. 30% of Americans. And here they'll say 50% of black people. They say they got a 25% unemployment rate for black people as opposed to a 12% unemployment rate for white people. Just for an example. Now that 12% of white people, because they are say 60-70% of the population, that's up to say a few million. Whereas on the other equation, with 50% of the black people only being 14% of the population, it only ends up to 100,000. So you got this is what they've game they've been playing. Man, they're being these people are being oppressed because 40% of them are having this wrong done to them. Where this wrong is only being done to 8% of white people. This is how they lay it out to you in these numbers. But that 8% of white people, when you look at the real numbers, which is what, you're talking about individual human beings here, aren't we? And as individual human beings, it's like police brutality, police beatings. You got Black Lives Matter out there, jumping up and down with their thing. You're working for George Soros, just trying to cause disruption. But they'll tell you, proportionately, the black people are being beaten more. Bullshit. Proportionally, because that's how they play the game. Proportionately is a bullshit. It's a bullshit word to use in that context. Proportionately, let's say 27% of blacks are being oppressed, as opposed, on the other hand, it's only 5% of whites that are suffering this outrage. It's a black problem. No, when that 5% in real numbers adds up to 5 times what the black percent is, I think it's a white problem. And I think it's a problem across the board, and they know it. It's just shifting it because they can say it's a black problem, and then they can throw some money at this, what the hell is his name? Jesse Jackson and his crew. They can throw some money at them, say, we're working on the problem, as when the real problem, the biggest problem that makes that one look pale in comparison is being done to the white people. Oh, there's no problem. We're taking care of it here as you're getting beaten down. Do you see how those numbers work, people? Total and complete bullshit. So, this, the whole discrimination thing, that's all I can say. I mean, it's a ridiculous, of course, the United Nations, of course, the international communists have big problems with any thought of them not being able to come into the country and, you know, make a one world communist dictatorship run from the top by a handful of aristocrats. So it's really, you know, they'll call it one world communism, you know, everybody having a vote. Boy, I tell you what, as a one world citizen, you will have a one world vote. And at the top, there will be a handful of people that just control things. That's how it should work. Because they're them, and you're you, and you must be pretty freaking dumb to let a handful do this to you. Napolitanos. This is Janet Napolitanos. UC, that's University of California, hit $175 million while demanding money, audit says. This is from Fox News. It was sent in by Misty for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. The University of California hid a stash of $175 million in secret funds while its leaders requested more money from the state, an audit released on Tuesday said. Now, see, if we're going to talk, I mean, we were talking Frank Face earlier, and we were trying to talk about law when there is no law, and again, we're going to be doing that here. But, I mean, under the theory that, you know, like you and me, if we embezzled money, would there be a consequence? We'll just keep it simple. We know there ain't no fucking law, but would there be a consequence if you, I mean, there would be the color of law, the pretense of law. You would end up, you know, under the prison with light being pumped to you. But that there would be a consequence. On the other hand, let's see if, I mean, if this is breaking and $175 million, that ain't, well, I don't know. If you're stealing, you know, what's it, a Pentagon up to about $9 trillion they've stolen. I guess if you're stealing that kind of money, this is really kind of chump change, $175 million. How many of you poor saps out there that are actually creating the products with the sweat of your brow are having your, you go and you see the big deductions out of your check, and this is part of it, this $175 million. I mean, how many of you could just probably just retire if you had just one of those millions? 175 of you could. But I mean, to them, I mean, why are we even talking about $175 million? Let's talk about a quarter if we're going to get this ridiculous about it. $175 million. The University of California hid a stash of $175 million in secret funds while its leaders requested money. The San Francisco Chronicle reported that the audit found that the secret fund ballooned due to University of California Office of the President overestimating how much is needed to run the school. I mean, here they try to, you know, they're trying to put some butter on the bread. How much it is needed to run the school system that includes 10 campuses in the state. Janet Napolitano, the former Department of Homeland Security chief, is in charge of the school system. Not her. Man, she would never steal and embezzle, would she? And if she did, man, I mean, as our public servants are held to a higher standard, I mean, if anybody's going to be punished, they would. Napolitano denied the audit's claim. Man, we have this math here. You see, it's pluses and minuses. We're doing arithmetic here. It's called arithmetic. It's not a part of Common Core. And we're doing pluses and takeaways. We call it subtraction and addition. And here on the bottom line, we got $175,000, and we went and looked, and it was in an account nobody knew about, an account that wasn't being monitored as required by the law. You get the money, and then we're supposed to monitor the money to make sure, because we don't have allocations anymore. We don't have a government monitoring anything. Actually, we're just another freaking corporation ourselves, and we're going to let you off on this, but we're going to teach you how it works. You see, it comes up here. The math just ain't working out here, Janet. You dyke, you piece of shit parasite, but it's just not working out. I mean, it's not coming out zeros at the end. See, we're supposed to come out with, we got red ink, we got black ink, and at the end we're supposed to come out with zeros and black ink, everything leveled out, and we know where all the money went. But no, Napolitano denied the audit's claim. She must have another audit. She must have a better idea. She reportedly said the money was held for an unexpected, she denies the audit that it found the money. Then, I mean, the next statement, she reportedly said the money was held for an unexpected expense. What's wrong with these statements, people? Her office also denied the amount in the fund. Well, I didn't steal $175,000. I only stole, well, we'll see what she stole, claims she stole. The true amount is $38 million that has been embezzled and put into a fund that can't be monitored. We call it a slush fund. We're stealing it. million, which is roughly 10% of the office's operating and administrative budget, a prudent and reasonable amount for unexpected expenses such as cybersecurity threat response and emerging issues like increased support for... increased support for undocumented students and efforts to prevent sexual violence. I mean, they throw it in there, right? And sexual violence. We want to stop sexual violence. And they put it, what would they put, right? What they put for it? Cybersecurity threats. Ooh, yes. I mean, I can see that. Emergency issues like increased support for undocumented students and efforts to prevent sexual violence and sexual harassment, her office said in a statement. Not denying that there's count, you know, the count, the problem here is that the count's not supposed to exist. How can you have people monitoring where the money goes if they don't know about the account? And that's what this is really all about. And this is why these attorneys are trying to twist it away from that and towards some kind of notion like the, it's like the gun argument. It's not that the second article says absolutely you can't touch them. It's that, you know, well, actually, the statistics show that people who have guns are better able to protect. Now, I don't give a shit about none of your statistics. I don't give a shit about none of it. Like, I don't give a shit about none of this. I want to talk about John Napolitano and the secret account that can't exist. That is an act of, well, I have to believe it's against some kind of law. I know it would be if I did it. Expected expenses. Oh, yeah, we're there. Undocumented students, support for undocumented students. And then that's really what it's been stashed. It's just like they took that health money, you know, when they come up with their phony ass crisis, Ebola, you know, John runs over the whole list at the beginning of the tactical report. But I mean, what happened there? I mean, it just came out like, you know, just a blaze in the news. And man, money was, billions were allocated. This has got to be stopped. We got to save the world. And then, what words? Here it is. I'll give it to you. What the hell? Got to save the world. Save the world. And then it was over. And you never heard no more about it until somebody came up and they're talking about, you know, using this money to buy plane tickets to fly, well, MS-13 gang members from Guatemala up to here, giving them $257 a day and flying them into the interior of the United States. You think this might be what these secret funds that can't exist, that are a violation of the law, are all about? I mean, I bet you they got them all over this country. Every goddamn university, I bet you's got one. These communist universities. Hell, man, every agency, you look at that, you got the whole state of California violating the goddamn federal prohibition on people just entering this goddamn country and taking it over. What's the, you think they ain't got some, I mean, they've been coming out and saying, we're going to put it on a new tax to give the money to these aliens here to help fight, to keep them in here. And illegal, felony. These are felonies that are real because that's a part of the administration. That's a part of the goddamn government. But their felonies are just kind of suggestive felonies. Now, you and I commit a felony, which they can't even charge us with the felony. They have no authority. It's all color of law. They never had, their jurisdiction has never had the authority to be outside that 10-mile square. But if it's you or me, within a felony we can't even be charged with, we will be charged and we will be crucified to the maximum level of the deception and fraud. Elaine Howell, the state auditor who came up with the report, found that in 2012 and to 2016, the office looked to raise more funding by inflating estimates. Isn't that fraudulent when you lie on a government document to get, well, more money from the government? If I did that, what if I lied on a tax return? What if I lied on any kind of request to the government? Because I know everything I sign. I mean, I go to sign for a driver's license that I cannot be made to have, and I got to, under penalty of perjury. We can jail you if you do not understand what you're writing and everything you're saying isn't truthful. Howe also said that a top staff member in Napolitano's office improperly screened confidential surveys that were sent to each campus. Howell said answers that were critical to Napolitano's office were deleted or changed before being sent to the auditors. So the auditors went to the schools, went out, and they sent out these surveys, evidently, to see where, you know, has the money being spent right? Do you see any problems here? And, they deleted them. The ones that were against them, the ones that told about their crimes. I guess that's what you can do. When there's no law and you have the monopoly on force out in the public. I've never had a situation like that in my 17 years, as State Auditor Howell said. My attorneys are looking at rather any improper government activities. Well, see, there you go. I mean, you got to have somebody look at this a little closer because, man, just having an account you can't have that the goddamn law says you can't have, having that account that cannot be monitored and having government funds in there that have to be monitored by law, we don't see it yet. We got to look further, people. Oh, man. Taken as a whole, these problems indicate that significant change is necessary. And that's what happens when they get busted embezzling $175 million. You get caught. Well, man, like that. Fuck, forget it. You're done. But stick a fork in yourself. You'll never see daylight again. $175 million. Are you kidding me? But when they do it, what needs to happen here? You know, yeah, we have some blatant theft of the people's property. But it's just those goddamn peasants, and really it's just us stealing from one another because we've done determined none of it belongs to them. So what we need to do here is, well, we need to indicate this that significant change is necessary. And we wouldn't even do that except that we need to strengthen the public's trust in the University of California. I mean, this is what they're telling you, not that people need to be arrested because this is a crime. I mean, they commit crimes in front of you every day. All day long, don't they? Or am I missing something? A crime has been committed. So the answer here, the audit found that over the course of 4 years, let's see, did we do it? Okay, no, we were here. Taken as a whole, because we've got to take it as a whole because there's still need to look into it closer because they can't decide if having an illegal account that you know is illegal. I mean, it's just like this goddamn server with Hillary Clinton. Did she intend to have that secret account? I mean, did Napolitano, did she intend to have that secret account that, you know, she was Secretary of Homeland Security that she knew was against the law? And did she put money in that secret account that she's not supposed to have, that was public money that had to be monitored, that couldn't be in a secret account? That's why you can't have a secret account. Did she do it? Well, of course she did. But what we need to do here is we need significant change. Significant change. What kind of significant change is going to strengthen the public's trust in the University of California? I guess we'll find out someday. Anyways, guys, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to roll across, and we'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiliquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 137, about 138 Pacific time. Pretty clothes. And of course, that was Down Here with the Rest of Us, Social Distortion. We listened to that at the break. And let's see here. I Will Kill You. Cop holds pistol to unarmed man's head, severely beats him. This is from Free Thought Project. It was sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Dramatic body camera footage was released this week showing officers, plural, pile on top of a suspect, hold a gun to his head, beat him into the earth, and threaten to kill him. The unarmed suspect's only crime was running away from the police. My God, if you don't run, I mean, and if they catch you, they probably will kill you. I mean, this is what it's come down to. You know, I mentioned this article earlier to Frank Face. And the fact that, at some point, the people have to realize, man, it's gone. There is no law. There's nothing to protect you but you. To add insult to assault with a deadly weapon, the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department is defending the actions of four officers who were caught on camera punching, elbowing, and threatening to shoot the unarmed man, James Yarbrough, in the head. According to the police report, the incident happened on March 26th when police stopped a car they suspected was involved in a string of larcenies. Yarbrough was a passenger in the car. Uh-oh. Boy, man, you rode with the wrong dude that morning. Yarbrough, who has been arrested in the past for unlawful possession of a firearm, explained that the driver of the car was trying to sell him a gun. A gun he did not want. He says he ran because he didn't want cops to accuse him of possessing this gun, which would have certainly ended up with Yarbrough and Joan. You know, I read this article earlier, and I know what happened here. You see, the feller who stole the car, I mean, he steals cars all the time. He runs drugs. He's the total asshole in the whole goddamn community that's just the rat bastard son of a bitch. He goes to jail for 15 minutes. He's back out. And everybody else goes to jail and does his frickin' time. And they had a beef against this Yarbrough, man. Maybe they wanted to beat on him or something. Maybe he just said, you know, F you, buddy. You don't own me. But this was a setup. Of course, there was a gun in the car. And of course, the police just happened to be there right when this guy was, hey, you want a gun? This is what we're talking about when we talk about these goddamn rat son of a bitches. A gun he did not want. He says he ran because he didn't want cops to accuse him of possessing this gun. I bet you they were trying to get it in his hands, and probably the idea was to shoot and kill that man. Just somebody they didn't, maybe he didn't show enough respect. He didn't drop to his knees last time they were harassing him. They told him, you better straighten up, boy. A gun he did not want. He says he ran because... After he was nearly killed and severely beaten, however, Yarbrough notes that it was a poor decision to flee. I don't know, buddy. You probably saved your life, whether you realize it or not. If they could have kept you close enough to that car with that gun, they probably might have just killed you for anybody got there. I mean, there was probably a handful that turned into a big handful. I regret running. To flee. The only thing I did wrong was to run. That is the only thing I did wrong that day. Yarbrough told WBTV, I regret running. I don't know. Again, you might have saved your life. However, because he ran, police accused him, chased him. Of course they did. You were getting away. And when they caught him, they were less than accommodating, as videos from two body cameras show. I like the way they put it, less than accommodating. I mean, this is becoming so blasé, you know, these goddamn black-booted thugs beating people down into the goddamn ground. We can even, you know, kind of smirk about it outside of our mouth. Accommodating, huh? Less than accommodating. His first body camera... The first body camera shows the stop and then a several-minute-long chase until Yarbrough is brought down by officers. The second body camera, worn by one of the officers on top of Yarbrough, shows a cop hold his service pistol to Yarbrough, who is unarmed and under several cops. Boy, I've seen this many times, people. Don't effing resist. Whatever. One officer says to Yarbrough just before a pistol is held to his head. Once the gun is pressed to Yarbrough's head, the officer is heard yelling, I will kill you. You understand? Give me your hand now. And I mean, like I said, this is just somebody. They wanted to brutalize somebody. And probably this guy, like I said, he must have pissed one of them off somewhere, you know, earlier in the day or maybe the day before that. As WBTV reports, Yarbrough said he thought in that moment he may be dead, and by God, they can kill you. They know they can get away with it. They're operating on a different jurisdiction than you, and you can't get into their jurisdiction. Like, they're not supposed to be able to get into your jurisdiction. But the thing is, you're just whatever, you're meat. They say we want to kill you. I mean, you're goddamn property. We decided to sell us some property. Most you can get us for is destroying property. As WT, yeah. Go ahead.
They call it good faith to me.
Oh, yeah.
Bull crap.
Oh, hell yeah.
They're told that they have immunity.
Well, they do. They do.
Don't worry about it. You can violate their rights up to the last strike of taking them out of this world.
It's encouraged. It's encouraged. This is,
I believe it is. I really do.
Oh, absolutely. You kidding me? I mean, they are taking this country. At some point in the ball game, the people have to say, hey, you know what? God damn it, you know, they're taking our country. I'm out on the streets. I mean, you have people back in 2008 that people had to work 20, 30, 40 years. And when it all started happening, you had the goddamn liars and deceivers on Fox News, Business News and stuff. Well, it's just a little glitch here as things were going south. And, you know, back then I was screaming at people, get your goddamn cash that 401k in. I don't care what the penalty is, man. Get your money out of it fast. And some people listened. Some people got a little bit of their money. Others lost every goddamn thing they had. But, mean, give me your hand now. As WBTV reports, Yarbrough said he thought at that moment he may die. He might have, too. That moment felt like felt like it might have been my last day, Yarbrough said. Yarbrough was apparently having a hard time getting his arms behind him with 600 pounds of cop on top of him, and can be heard telling cops, I'm not resisting. Oh, yeah, you're beam. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it. Light him up. Light him up. He don't want to do it. A cop can be heard saying of Yarbrough being unable to put his hands behind his back. You're Scott, you two guys holding my hand so I can't get him behind my back, beating the hell out of me, telling me to put my hands behind my back. Light him up. He don't want to do it. We're having some fun now. Remember when I told you, check this out. What if somebody filmed you doing what was done to this man to a dog? Nobody's dog in particular, an old stray dog. What if they filmed you doing that? What would happen to your ass, to a dog? Now, you can't do something like that to a dog, but to a human being, I mean, hey, you know that's what they're there for, serve and protect. I knew it was over. I just knew it was over. Again, a repeat. Yarbrough said of that moment, and he watched the video with a WBTV reporter. As four cops held him down, Yarbrough is laying on the ground, clearly not resisting. However, the elbows and fists continue to drop on his head. I'm sure they did, just like they killed Kelly Thomas. And he's murdering, sick in the head, punk, cowards. This is a coward's act, people. Niggers, that's what they are. They're four niggers. I don't care what color they are. These are niggers. This is how niggers operate. For 4.5 minutes, the officers continued to beat Yarbrough before putting him into handcuffs. As WBTV pointed out, video and audio captured by his body cameras show him telling the four officers on top of Yarbrough to get off him so he can put his hands behind his back. We know we're on him. We know he can't put his hands behind his back. We want to beat him. You dumbass, what? Jump in, have some. This is fun. One cop who is standing up even acknowledges this. Guy Durham, you have to come up so he can get it back there. The officer standing over the group says, he's not going anywhere. Beat him. What the hell? We're not trying to chase him. We've got him. We're beating him at this point, you dumbass. Don't you see what? Don't you know the procedures? Haven't you read the handbook? Clearly, those cops were acting as if Yarbrough was resisting so they could dole out their brutality. Duh. Really? As soon as the officers stop beating him and get off him, he puts his arms behind his back, and the situation is over. Well, yeah, once they got to, you know, getting their jollies, beaten on a helpless, defenseless person, well, yeah. Oh, they had their orgasm. They were done. WBTV obtained a copy of the CMPD reports, which named the officers involved in the assault. The report also exposes the cop who assaulted Yarbrough with his pistol for lying. The report... So, well, no, they can't lie. What the hell is this bullshit I'm reading? The reports identified Officer John Dunnan as the officer who pressed his pistol to Yarborough's head and threatened to kill him. But Durham's report provides a different recounting than the, and I'm telling you, it's just like the last report we were going over, you know, the one with Janet Napolitano. Of course it's an illegal bank account. Of course it's all illegal right there in front of your eyes. But no, it's not illegal. It just ain't. Okay? But Durham's report provides a different recounting of his actions at the beginning of the struggle with Yarborough. I bet you it do. And that's all. It doesn't matter if it matches the camera. Just write it down. Case closed. Have a nice day. Go beat some more. We like it when you beat them. We got to beat them down. We're taking their goddamn country. We don't keep them beat down. They might kill us. At this point, I observed him shove his hand towards his waistband. Oh, yeah, of course you did. It's like Lavoy Finnegan. Yeah, he put his hand at the waistband when you shot him. I love it. But, I mean, in this case, well, you'll see. I observed him towards his waistband. He was completely uncooperative. I believe he was reaching for a gun in an attempt to seriously hurt me or Officer Michaels. Knowing that suspects are known to frequently place guns in the front, their waistbands, I drew my pistol and threatened to shoot him, Durham said. That's why he was going for that gun. Wait a minute. Dunham's narrative made no mention of the gun pressed to Yarborough's temple, nor his threat to kill Yarborough. Aside from failing to mention the fact that he threatened to kill the unarmed man, Durham's description of Yarborough's reaching for his waistband was also exposed as a lie. The video clearly shows Yarborough's arms extended out in front of him. Man, how many times you seen this? How many times you seen him up on top of somebody just beating him and beating him? And the person's... Hell, they can even be unconscious, you know, or like Kelly Thomas. Stop resisting. Every 3 seconds. Oh, George, every 3 seconds you say stop resisting because I'm too busy concentrating on beating this guy. Oh, just say, stop resisting. Boom, 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 boom. Stop resisting. His hands were extended out in front of him. So he wasn't reaching for his baseball. And of course, now that we have this video, what the hell are we talking about? We have video of him beating Kelly Thomas to death. I mean, for long, I mean, it seemed like it was about 10, 15 minutes of steady beating, taking turns beating a man who's handcuffed until they beat him to death. And that was all on video. And they got promotions. I have many disturbing impressions. Charlotte attorney Jake Sussman said to WBTV immediately after watching the video, "You've got 3 to 4 fully grown men driving this person into the earth, beating on him with elbows and fists, sticking a gun against his temple and threatening to kill him. And is there some problem here?" You see, there would have to be actually be law. You know, it'd have to be against the law. But if there is no law, it can't be against the law, and all you have is corporations, and these guys were just working for their boss, doing what their boss told them to. You can't hold that against them. Jeez, is there any rights in this country? I think if you show that to 12 people on the street, and because he's insinuating a jury here, they would certainly think that there was a problem. You think so? Do you think so? There certainly seems like that was an unreasonable use of force. What are you talking about? Haven't you watched Dirty Harry? God damn it, these people get out and they loopholes, that Constitution, Bill of Rights thing, all these loopholes. God, you can't even get them. Good thing these cops beat them. That's only punishment they ever get, Sussman said. However, the CMPD disagrees. I'm sure they do. This is the corporation, Charlotte or whatever it is, Metropolitan Police Department, I would have to say, disagrees. During their investigation, they investigated this. What they did is they investigated, they looked at the video, they seen him brutalize this guy, about beat him to death, and then they read the cop's statement. They said, well, the cop said he, you know, was reaching for a gun. But, sir, his hands are out in front of him. It is physically impossible that he was reaching for a gun when he pulled out his pistol and put it to that guy's head and told him he'd kill him. But the statement says, and you go ahead and you look into our bylaws, into this corporation, the statement says that if he says that he had a reason, that's all we need. We don't look at anything else. Case closed. Have a nice day. Give that guy a promotion. During their investigation into the incident, they found no wrongdoing on the part of the officers. Of course not. I could have told you that. In fact, I did. Apparently, holding your pistol to the head of an unarmed man, unarmed and surrendering man while threatening to kill him is in accord with the department's policy. Absolutely. Look it up, you dumb son of a bitch. Of course it is. He felt... I don't care if the guy was dead. And the guy went up and pumped around. And if he felt threatened, okay, you know, he felt threatened. You going to tell him he didn't feel threatened? Are you going to tell a cop he didn't feel threatened? Please. Those men are heroes. When you look completely at the totality of the circumstances, you have to ask yourself, was that reasonable? Was that reasonable in that situation? Geez, now that I've looked at it and you've told me about it, and I, most importantly, now that I've seen Officer Dunnan's statement, of course it was reasonable. God, man, I mean, what are you going to pamper these goddamn criminals? Didn't Dirty Harry teach you anything? And based on everything, it was reasonable. Of course it was reasonable. They're charged with keeping control over a goddamn massive herd of goyim. Now, goddammit, if you can't use the whipping stick to get them all into the herd and whip them down the road, how in the hell are you supposed to control them? Get off this cop's back. CMPD Major Stella Patterson said of the incident, it's going to be a dyke woman in control of the power thing, because you got to understand that these women, especially if they cut all their hair off, put a goddamn bandage around their tits and squish them down. And buy them a set of rubber balls so you can see them bulging out in their britches. Well, goddamn, they just back off. They'll kick your ass. They're bad. They're nationwide. Yarborough was arrested and charged with misdemeanor resisting public officer. Excuse me. A public officer. Assault on... Now, listen to this. This is what this guy gets charged. You've heard what the... But good Officer Dunnan, who told the truth, said... Listen to what this guy gets charged with. And this is how they, by God, do it, people. They'll beat you half to death and then charge you with attacking them. Yarborough was arrested and charged with misdemeanor resisting a public officer, assault on officer inflicting serious injury, and a felon in possession of a firearm. Well, this sounds completely reasonable considering the situation. I'm sure... he might have killed one of them cops. They barely made it through that. They did barely beat him enough until he didn't. Well, but this one says there was serious injury. Well, I bet you one of them cops pulled a muscle beating on him. That's bullshit. He should be put in prison making a cop pull his muscle like that beating on you. If it was a serious injury, man, goddamn, we can't. I mean, it's like kicking one of their dogs. However, after realizing that they clearly lacked evidence of any of these crimes, all three charges were dropped and Yarborough was released. So basically what happened here is a person was accosted. They were, a first degree assault was committed on him by six thugs with goddamn weapons. Armed thugs. Yeah, I mean, if all the charges were dropped, then they had no charges. So why was this man beaten like this? Well, that's right. Keep those goddamn goyim in line. And it really keeps them in line when everybody gets to go out and see the video of this guy and knows this son of a bitch was beaten down for absolutely no reason. Could happen to you. Next time that cop comes up to you, you better drop to your knees and try to lick a little bit of that goddamn shoe polish off his shoes and beg him and ask him, is there anything you can do to be more cooperative with him, because you know that he is the authority over you. That you have accepted that you are corporate property and that, hell, he can dispose of you as he pleases. He is judge, jury, and executioner right there on the spot. Tell me it ain't so, because it is so. To make matters worse, Yarborough has attempted to report the officers multiple times, but has been turned away every time. Well, of course, what would you expect? You're going to them to say something bad about one of their heroes? God, they should have beat him again when he showed up.
What state was that in?
Let me see. Charlotte? Let me see here. I'll have to look at the other page. Unarmed suspect.
Charlotte sounds like North Carolina, maybe?
Charlotte. It says Charlotte, Mecklenburg Police Department. So I'm thinking Charlotte's North Carolina, South Carolina. Which is it?
probably, yeah.
One of the Carolinas, yeah. I've seen some of the guys comment on the site, and they were talking about it being in the South. And a lot of this happens in the South. Well, no, this happens across this goddamn country, people. Kelly Thomas.
It's going on everywhere now, man.
Oh, hell yeah. Kelly Thomas, everywhere. That was in San Francisco. And then James Boyd, that was New Mexico, out in the middle on a goddamn side of a hill. Killed him deader than a witch.
Oh, yeah, the guy was homeless.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that police, they were outside of jurisdiction.
Well, of course they were. But what are you against? What are you against? Are you against our heroes? I hope not. Anyways, guys, we've made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of the Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, man, I mean, God, you know, say a prayer for our heroes, will you? And that is the Word from the Trenches.